Welcome to the very first episode of That's the Tea, everyone. I am your host, Miguel. In this episode, you will learn more about me and what to expect in future episodes. So let's get started right away. Let's get very personal. I am 31 years old. My birthday just passed, actually. So thank you for the belated wishes, everyone. I felt like I was in my 30s since I became a parent. It's like you're added 10 years to your life automatically as soon as you become a parent. My son Leo will be 10 years old in a few months, and that's wild to me. It just went by so quick. It just goes to show that, as cliche as it sounds, like time just flies, especially as a parent, because you get to watch your kids grow, and one day, you know, they're 2 years old or whatever, and a few years later, and it feels like a day later, they're 10. It's fucking crazy to me. I was born and raised in Chicago. I grew up on the South Side, to be specific. If you don't know much about the South Side, here are some things that you should probably know. We have the best tacos, no questions asked. We have the best elotes. For those that don't know what elotes are, it's Mexican style corn, and you buy it from the hardworking street vendors on the streets. We also have the best pizza. I'm probably gonna get some comments on this. And I'm willing to fight, I'm willing to argue with some people, but I don't think you can change my mind. I tried these foods in different states, and Chicago is just unmatched. Driving in Chicago becomes a mission. You have some really aggressive drivers, and most people are willing to fight you, so avoid road rage at all costs, please. You will hear some music blasting in different neighborhoods every weekend as soon as the weather gets nice. It could be a two-year-old's birthday party and you're going to have 10 families just going wild. They also close off neighborhoods. I don't know if this happens in other cities, but in Chicago, you can close off an entire neighborhood so you can party. Wild, but it's a blast. I don't know if that's going to be allowed with this whole COVID situation, but yeah, it's a grand time. The cookouts begin as soon as the weather is nice, so that means 20 degrees. People are in shorts, ready to make that arrachera, that steak, those burgers, those hot dogs. We use the word pop instead of soda. We answer our own questions. For example, hey, can you get me some food, yeah? They told you yes? Nah. Everyone still calls the Sears Tower the Sears Tower. When there's snow, you can claim a parking spot if you shovel that area out. It's like this weird unspoken rule that every citizen just somehow picked up. Let me elaborate on that. I think other cities started doing it too, but I only know of Chicago doing this, and I only knew of the South Side starting to do this. You have to park on the street, right? So if you clean out a parking spot in the street and you claim it, it's basically yours until there's no more snow. So you could put an object on there. I've seen chairs, I've seen brooms, I've seen teddy bears, I've seen grills, I've seen sofas, I've seen all kinds of random objects. And that just, you know, it shows that someone cleaned it, so now it's your spot. If you take someone's spot, I don't know, man. I wouldn't even think of taking someone's spot because there's going to be some punches being thrown. So don't take anyone's spot if they've shoveled it. Find your own and put an awesome item on it. There are neighborhoods you should definitely stay away from, but overall, it's a place like no other. I have both good and bad experiences with it, and both have help me grow as a person. It's not for everyone, that's for sure. There's so much more, but I think you get a good idea from this mini summary. When I was growing up there, I enjoyed it, but really wanted to move out of there. I think things have changed in the city since I was a teenager, but back then there were just things that sucked. I wish we didn't have to experience some of those things. My friends and I couldn't go to a restaurant or a store outside of our neighborhoods without being concerned about gangs and shit like that. I remember planning like routes so we could go get a cheeseburger because we had to avoid certain neighborhoods. You know, there's different gangs in every neighborhood. So it was pretty crazy to maneuver around that. Sometimes you wanted to go play soccer or just hang out at the park, but you couldn't because of all that violence and shit. But you know what? We survived through all that, and it's made us in some way the people that we are today, and we don't even realize it. We grew up in some crazy neighborhoods, but, you know, we are lucky to have come out of there alive and with a different mentality because you could easily become part of, like, all the negative stuff if you allow it. you hear mostly negative things about the South Side of Chicago. It has some really nice things though. I think it's come a long way and it's nice to visit now. Most of my family lives in Chicago, so I will continue to visit, but I don't think I'll ever live there again. Also, a very important part of my childhood was having both my parents with me. My family and I are super close, and it's thanks to my mom and dad. We've lived together since forever, and thanks to that, we are all still very connected in each other's lives. I went to college in downtown Chicago. The commute was super nice. It opened my Southside world. I also worked at a bookstore, so I got to meet a bunch of people. I got to meet people from all over the world, and it was a brand new experience to me. I met my son's mom in college, and in 2011, she gave birth to the legend. I started preparing for this new journey while also shitting myself because I had no idea, and I was so scared to move and leave my family behind because I had never done that before. So I moved to Kenosha, Wisconsin the same year because I wanted to make sure that I was a huge part of my child's life. I was not going to be there. I didn't really know anyone over there, so I knew this would be very tough. After my son turned one, we split up and we followed our own lives, his mom and I. This was extremely difficult and painful for me because at first I had no idea where I was going to live. I really couldn't turn to anyone because I didn't have family there. So after days of just panic, one of my friends offered to let me stay at their place until I could get back on my feet. So I lived there for a few months and then I was able to get my own apartment. But before that, let me tell you that so many shitty things happened to me. I wanted to make myself disappear. Oh my God, there was just so much and it was just constant. It was like one after the other. I mean, sometimes it feels like that today, but just hear me out. Hear some of this shit. If you've ever had a bad day or a bad week, a bad year, just listen to some of this shit. So I had this car that my parents gave me. It was a like a maroon Passat, a Volkswagen. And it started falling apart on me. I was working two jobs. I worked at this shitty ass molding company. I hated it there. And I also worked at a shoe store. I worked retail. So I was working both of these jobs when I didn't have my son. And I remember one day I was going to the drive-thru to get some food, right? And my window, like the glass fell inside the door as I was getting my food. And I was just like, you know, I was just confused. Like, what just happened? And it was really cold out. It was winter. So I got my food, right? And I sat it to the side. And I needed my window up because it was so cold. So I had to slide my fingers through or my hands through the door and pull the glass out. My hands were bleeding. And, you know, you ever like get hurt when you're cold? It has like that extra freaking pain. That's exactly what was happening. So I was able to pull it back up, right? And then it fell again. And I had to do the same thing over and over and over until I got home. And I put some tape to hold it with the top of the door. It sucked. So then I went to a shop to hopefully get it fixed. And they broke my door. And they would not help me out, even though they're the ones that broke it. They told me that's how they found it. So now my door, the driver door, I couldn't get out of it through that door. I had to get out through the passenger side. Not only was that embarrassing, it was so inconvenient. And it doesn't stop there. It doesn't end there. I wish it did. I was driving on the highway one time and one of my headlights just flew out, literally just popped out, flew out. One time I was driving and the horn just went off, right? I couldn't turn it off. It was just honking the whole time. It was like a constant horn. So I had to pull over to the side and I had to cut off the wire to the speaker so it could shut up. But when I did that, now my car wouldn't turn on. So I had to get it towed. And the next day, guess what? This fucking thing turns on. So I paid to get this towed for no reason. What else happened? There was so much that happened with this car. Oh my God. The heater didn't work properly, so my feet would be frozen. And I think there was like holes or something. Because if it rained or when it snowed, like I had the bottom of my floor frozen. And sometimes I had like water just there. It was a terrible experience with that car. And again, you think it stops there? No, there's worse. One time my brakes stopped working. I almost shit myself on the highway. Luckily nothing came from it. You know, nobody got hurt or anything. I was able to make it to my parents, but it was still really scary. Then the scariest moment using that car, I had just left my shoe store job and I was on the highway, and for whatever reason my car decided that it was going to turn off as I was driving in the middle of the fucking highway. That was intense. Like, it felt like a movie. Like, my heart was gonna pop out of my chest. The cars behind me are honking at me, they're flashing their lights at me, and I can't do anything. I was trying to open up my sunroof to like wave, and I was like just throwing my hands in the air, and nothing was happening. I couldn't do anything. I'm preparing for the worst. I'm like, I hope this isn't how it ends, but damn, okay, it might. And luckily, a few seconds right before the cars behind me like got close to me, especially that semi, that I was so scared of it, my car decided to turn back on. So I stepped on the gas and I pulled to the side, and I just sat in my car for a while, just stinking. Like, how the fuck did this just happen to me? And there's plenty of more life and death situations that I will talk about later. Some of the things that have happened to me, I have no explanation for. And all that was just about my car. Like, I didn't have 100 other things to worry about. That was just one sector. After all this shit was happening, still what was the toughest for me was just realizing that my son was going to grow up in two separate homes, and he was going to start meeting new people, and he was just so little. And it would make me think of my childhood and the privilege I had to spend time with both of my parents all the time. So that was, I think, what was the most defeating about the situation, just seeing my son have to become this like tough little dude at such a young age. And we've been toughing it out ever since. When we moved into our first apartment, it was a one bedroom apartment. It was not nice at all, but it quickly became home. It was just him and I, and right away it just had this homey feel, even though it wasn't the most amazing place. And you also just realize that home isn't just this beautiful house or this physical thing that has to be there in order for it to be a home. Home is wherever that loved one or those loved ones that you share your life with, wherever they're at, that's where home is. And that's what it felt like for me with just me and my son. We had this cozy little one bedroom apartment where we couldn't do much, but it was nice to spend time there on our own now without having to worry so much about being a burden on anyone else's life. And it right away gave me the ability to become, it actually forced me to become responsible, because I was taking care of all the bills by myself. So I had to, and this is just, you know, things that I didn't know as a young parent or as a young adult. I had never set up accounts with the gas company or electric company, none of that stuff. I didn't know how to do simple things at the house, like cook certain things and how to insulate the windows properly. There's just so much that I didn't know. I didn't know how to maintain an apartment right away. So this gave me the ability to start learning those things. And there's no excuses, you know, like if the apartment is cold, you could be freezing your ass off, right? If it's just you, but when you have your child there, you better get that shit fixed. So I took care of all that. A lot of the things that I had to do to my apartment happened when he wasn't there, because I never liked exposing him to anything that was like super inconvenient to his life. Like, I wanted to make sure that when he got home, he was able to enjoy home for what a home is. I didn't like him stepping all over my garbage or not having food ready at the house for him. It was just how I felt about things. I didn't like not being prepared for him because he was so little. He was so little, and they need so much when they're little. And it's really hard sometimes to take your kid to like shopping, especially like when they're younger, because you're focused on shopping, but you have to also be very focused on them. And it's just complicated. But home was home, and we experienced that together, and it changed our lives for the better. Our life started getting better. I started meeting new people. I started developing sort of a life that I didn't have before. And all that has led me to where I'm at today. Just those humbling experiences from the beginning. A few months ago, my son brought it up, and he had brought this up years ago. He was like, "Dad, do you remember when we didn't have internet?" Woo! Whoa! Blast from the past. I don't know if you guys could tell, but my voice changes whenever I get emotional. So give me a moment. So he brought up how we didn't have internet at first, and how, you know, now we do, and that sort of thing. And it just, you know, takes you to that moment where you're struggling to pay for shit. You know, like, you can barely pay, like, for the minimum, which is, you know, rent and your necessities like the electric and heating. So you're not even thinking about something like Wi-Fi, right? Although it's absolutely needed today, I believe. So it just, you know, those moments in my life have turned me into the dad that I am today. And without all that struggle, like, I don't think I'd be as strong as I feel today, and I wouldn't be the kind of dad that I am. So anyone out there listening, if you're struggling in the beginning, trust me, it gets better as long as you don't give up. There's going to be future episodes where I'm a little more specific about certain situations where I almost gave up, but trust me, I'm so happy that I didn't, and I'm sure my son is too. I learn every day, honestly, and that hasn't changed. It's been like that since day one. It's a crazy responsibility you have as a parent. You care for this completely new life, and, you know, isn't it crazy that whatever they learn or don't learn from you will mold them as human beings for the rest of their lives? That's nuts to me. I looked for information on young dads, and I looked for help when I was younger. It wasn't always easy, but I figured out some stuff. There was so much I wish I had known, though, like some of the things that I know now. Like, I wish someone had told me some of these things. That is one of the reasons I created this podcast. I wanted to share my experiences with other dads and parents in general. To this day, my son's mom and I still co-parent, and we do a fucking good job at it. So any struggling parents out there, maybe this is the podcast for you. It isn't easy, and it'll never be, but we both understand that Leo is our priority, and his happiness is the most important part of our lives. I've always believed I had to make his life as amazing and as easy as possible. He didn't ask to be here. It's a fucking crazy world we're just placing him in. So as long as I'm here, I'm gonna make sure that he has everything he needs, and I'm gonna make sure that he smiles every day. He's almost 10 now. I don't even know how to describe it, honestly. It doesn't feel like it's been 10 years. I can still remember, like, when he was little. Sometimes I don't, which is crazy. So it's like this on and off switch you have of you get nostalgic, and sometimes you feel like you missed out on so much. It's a wild thing being a parent. You know, yesterday I was changing his diapers, and now he tells me to close my eyes when he's changing his clothes. And I'm like, what the fuck, man? You're my baby. Stop talking to me like this. You know, you're always learning something, and I can't say that enough. I remember when he was born, the first time I met him. You know, I had met him when he was in his mom's stomach, because I remember he used to move around, and I used to put music on. I used to put these headphones. I don't know if that's bad. I guess I should do some research on that. I used to put headphones on his mom's stomach, and I would let him listen to some of my music. I would talk to him sometimes, even though I was embarrassed in front of his mom to do it. But I used to have these little chats with him. And when he was born, He came out with a full set of hair. His eyes were fully open. That was bizarre to me. I had never seen a baby just pop out, like just staring at shit. And as soon as that moment happened, like, I mean, I bursted into tears. I couldn't describe it. It's a moment that that can be recreated. And I hope everyone that really wants to be a parent gets to experience this, because it's beautiful. It's life happening literally in front of your face. I forgot completely about his mom when he came out. Kind of just left her laying in the bed, so I'm sorry about that. And I went over to my son, and they put him on that little like bed thing for babies. And he was staring right at me. I can't even describe this. It was just, his eyes were fully open, wide open, and they were looking at mine, and he wouldn't stop looking at me, and it was just fucking crazy. As cheesy as it sounds, like, I felt a connection with him, and I knew that I would do whatever, and I would be around until I could no longer be around. Like, I was gonna work my ass off, go through whatever obstacle life was gonna throw at me, but I was gonna be there as his dad until life decided that I no longer was needed. And, you know, fast forward through all this, we get to see him grow up and stuff, and he does some amazing things. And to this day, I will always brag about how awesome he is. I look at some of his baby photos now, and I remember telling him, I'm like, oh dude, you were kind of ugly. You were kind of ugly in these photos. Like, I'm sorry, I hope no one finds this offensive, but I don't think newborns are cute. They're not. And when my son was born, I thought he was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. I'm like, what is this? It's so fantastic. But now that I look back at photos, I'm like, bro, you look like a little creature. You look like a little tiny old man. Like, what is happening? That's so mean to say, but he gets a kick out of it. He's beautiful. He knows that. But anyway, I thought I'd share that that brief moment of happiness with you all. I know I'm old now when I ask him to explain certain things to me or what certain words mean. Like, I totally feel how my parents probably felt when I was his age, or when they heard me say things they didn't fully understand. At my job, I work with teenagers, and I am sort of a counselor / teacher / instructor / counselor. So I get to hear a lot of these new sayings and whatever is in now with the teenagers. See, just saying that makes me sound old. Oh, what's in now? What's hip? I'm turning into that old dad. I heard them say no cap so many times, and that's N-O-C-A-P. Oh man, yeah, I went to this place, no cap. Hey man, I didn't do my homework, no cap. Or something like that, right? So I was like, I wonder what that means. And then I heard Leo saying it, using it while he's playing his video games. He's got his headset on, and he's like, I'm sweating on him, yeah, no cap, blah, 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 no cap. And I'm just wondering to myself, like, what the heck does that even mean? So I ask him, and he explains to me that that means that you're not lying. So no cap equals not lying. I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense, sure. And then there's other words like I mentioned earlier, he's like, I'm sweating on him or something like that. Or I'm sweaty. Call me sweaty boy. And I was like, what the heck? Like, I know he sweats, but he didn't mean that literally. And again, there comes the old side of me coming out. I had no idea what he's talking about. So he explains that being good at a game means that you're sweaty. So when he's playing his, you know, his first person shooters and he's got a streak going, he's like, I'm sweating on him. And I'm just like, okay, that's what we're doing now. All right. There are no instructions for you. Every year around the sun for your kid can be totally different and unexpected. So there's no checklist for what exactly you should do when they're 1, 2, 3, 4, or 10. It's a never-ending process of learning. And the best thing you can do, though, one thing that will always be there, is you show them love. Because if you show them love, they're going to grow up with that and it'll turn them into amazing little human beings. So always show them love. I think they'll benefit from it forever, no matter what your circumstances are. Show them that you love them. Tell them, reassure them, because they definitely love you. Being a parent will never be easy, even if it appears to be easy to some people, or just because it looks like someone has it together, doesn't mean that that's what's going on. There's so much going on in the background that you don't get to see. There's a lot of pain, a lot of sacrifice, a lot of compromising, and plain old just sucking it up to make sure that your child is living as best as he or she could possibly be. So good job to all the good parents out there. Your work does not go unnoticed, and you will see that when your child starts getting older and is able to speak and is able to explain things to you. They don't forget. Trust me, they might forget a few things that you said, but they won't forget the things that you've done. So keep up the good work, everyone. It's not easy, but you make it look fucking easy because you're an amazing person. This podcast is inspired by my life as a dad, and for now, I'll be just sharing experiences by myself. On the final episode, there will be a special guest, so I hope you guys join us until then, because I'm super excited to show you who that is. Don't mind me if I go off tangent. It just sometimes is going to happen. There might be a squirrel moment where I say something and it takes me somewhere else. Don't mind that. Eventually, I'll get back on course and hopefully finish whatever story it is that I'm sharing. I would love to hear your thoughts about being a single parent or a co-parent or just a parent in general. And also would love some suggestions for future episodes. Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope you were entertained and maybe even inspired a little bit. Stay safe, stay away from bad vibes, and I hope to see you guys next time. Peace and love always.